This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. A couple of our favorite guests are with us this afternoon in the studio. They've joined us over the years on many occasions.
It's fun.
Diane Noland and Mike Brunk. Diane is a horticulturalist here at the University of Illinois and the host of Illinois Gardener on WILL-TV. And Mike is the arborist for the city of Urbana. So guess what we're going to talk about?
Let's guess.
Interior decorating.
Listeners, if you have questions about trees, landscaping, about preparing for the growing season, today's the day here on the Afternoon Magazine. Give us a call. Talk to Mike and Diane. They can help you out. The telephone number is in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. As I mentioned, Diane is the host of the WILL-TV program Illinois Gardener. The program airs on Thursday evenings at 7 and at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And Mike is the arborist for the city of Urbana, and both have been frequent guests over the years here on the Afternoon Magazine. We must go back at least 10 years now, huh? At least.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's possible.
From time to time.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
It's a beautiful day out there.
It's crisp, but very nice.
Yeah.
Good gardening weather.
Yeah. What are you doing these days in the garden?
I'm doing some cleanup in the garden. In fact, I was teaching about Siberian iris at 11 to my students in class, and I have been trimming those back. The leaves of Siberian and Japanese iris just don't fade away, so you have to actually snip them back. So I've been doing that, and it really helps the plant, but general garden cleanup and cutting back. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't done any of my ornamental grasses yet, but I'm about to do that over spring break, which is when?
Next week.
Sorry, Mike.
Well, I don't get any time off either.
I'm taking it. I'm not going to get
good
it.
For
I'll
you.
Take it.
Good for you.
To garden.
Well, what about the city of Urbana and its tree program? What's up?
Well, we've been trimming quite a bit, actually. Winter's a good time to trim trees. We are in a particular neighborhood, and we go down the street tree to tree and trim for clearance and sidewalk, street, driveway clearance, house clearance. And we also go through the tree looking for dead wood or cracked branches or rubbing limbs. So we call that our preventative maintenance. And it's good to have a cycle for all trees, whether they're on the street or in your backyard, of maintaining that tree in a preventative manner. So you go through the tree and you look for damage. You look for rubbing branches that may cause damage, and you want to remove the culprit if you can. You try to train trees so their branches are growing out from the inside instead of growing back into the tree. We, if there's any kind of clearance issues or anything like that, we want to raise that up out of the area. So.
Good time to do it because trees leaf out, you can see
really
the problems.
See it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you can see the rubbing limbs. And I even was in around my bayberry and some of the older branches. You can thin at this time because you can see it with the shrubs. So it's a great time to be out and about.
Okay. We've got a couple of listeners ready to go. Now we're going to talk with a caller on line one. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm glad you started talking about cleanup because we've got a bit. We have mainly day lilies and also a bunch of shrubs, different kinds, flowering almond and bleeding heart and a few of those. And, gosh, the bleeding heart's already sprouting green everywhere and
yes.
A little worried with the weather. But also some of the other ones that need a little cleaning up, what's the best process to follow as far as because like the lilies, for instance, we let everything kind of stay there, so that kind of protects them a little. But now that there's more sunshine, we want to get that to them. But we don't want to damage the stuff that's already coming up. So what's a good process for going about and getting that stuff cleaned out?
Well, this is a good time. I actually started several weeks ago with things I knew that were really tough. But day lilies are tough. And I just go from one edge of the bed, and it's kind of a methodical process, and just bring a wheelbarrow or whatever you're going to place it in and just start trimming all of, and actually the daylilies, it's just pulling it back and pulling it away.
Okay.
And taking it, removing it from the garden. I also come along and I will do some spot mulching because I have some aged mulch ready to go. And I actually mulched up when I had daffodils up a couple inches when it was going to be back to 20, 17 degrees. I actually did a little bit of spot mulching.
Okay, so like with the bleeding heart, could use a little bit more mulching around that just to help it out? Or
and you don't really cover it.
Okay.
You just put a little bit around and where you can see that the soil is showing. I just trim, you know, pull back away and mulch as I go because you can see the spot areas. And then I'm weeding at the same time. So I have a trowel and I see dandelions in the – not that mine would have dandelions in the garden. But you can see what you need to weed. So I really carry around sort of a – I have a cart that I haul around with me. So I have a trimmer and my Felcos and my trowel. And I'm ready to go.
Okay, just go along like that.
And just do it methodically so you're not missing any parts of your garden beds, just from one end to the other.
Okay. And any fertilizer at this point? Because we'll use through the summer a little bit of plant food every now and then.
Mm-hmm. I like to fertilize after flowering.
Okay.
I don't want to get too much nitrogen on for the soil. For the leaves to be too lush and green. So I like
after flowering,
which is a little difficult because you have flowering throughout, you know, different seasons.
Right.
But I'll often broadcast a low complete fertilizer or even slow release if you have the big bucks. And sometimes that's nice because you don't have to remember to do it. I don't fertilize yet.
Okay, but after flowering is a good idea.
It is.
Okay, now I've got some questions on the tree trimming and also a bush trimming because we have a magnolia that it had the little, I guess they're called, they're not the buds, but it was like the...
The fruit.
The fruit.
Yeah, with the seeds.
And they got heavy. And so during this last windstorm over the weekend, we had a lot of small branches broken off with the buds on there. Now, it's kind of looking, it looks okay, but are there any suggestions? Should I go in and trim off some of the ones that don't look as strong anymore or just let it be and let it go?
Well, what you want to do is clean up the broken branches. You want to make clean cuts and not leave jagged stubs.
Okay, so clean cuts on those. Okay.
Right. And now you're going to want to go back to where the branch that's broke, you want to cut it back to the next lateral or its parent branch.
Oh, all the way back. Okay.
The rule of thumb is you cut a limb back to a lateral branch that is at least one-third the size of what broke off.
Okay.
If you don't have that, then you have to take it back to the parent branch to get an appropriate size junction.
Okay.
Now, where you cut it is, you have to be careful. You want to leave the bark ridge, and you should be able to see the wrinkled area between the two branches or the parent branch and the one you're taking
and
off.
And make sure that stays there.
Right.
Okay. Okay, and do that. Okay.
Now, magnolias don't like a lot of pruning, so I would limit it to the broken branches.
That's the ones that broke off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so we'll take care of that. And then we've got a maple tree, pretty young. It's probably now about, I would say, 10, 12 feet. We planted it maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it's had a lot of growth, but it's in all different directions. So should we worry about shaping it now or just wait till it gets a little older?
Well, I think now is a perfect time. We wait about 3 years before we start training trees.
Okay.
And there's a number of things, several things to think about. The rule of thumb and how much to take out is never more than 25% of the foliage in a given year.
Okay.
So you'll want to limit yourself. Even if there's more that you want to take out, wait to the following year.
I see.
You might want to start pruning the tree. I guess first what I would do, priority-wise, is start to look for branches that are growing back into the tree. Those are going to be problematic. You want to maintain the branches going outward. So branches are growing straight up through the canopy or back into the trunk. You're going to want to prune those out.
Okay, so I'm just trying to picture that. So if they're not going straight up out... Or straight out, just to sideways, then we should...
Well, you have to look at the general growth of the tree. Occasionally, there's these wayward branches that just, you know, it's kind of like a rooster tail. They just want to go in their own direction rather than the natural flow of the tree.
There are a couple of those.
you want to train them out of the... You want to trim them out of the tree.
Okay.
The other thing you look for is future growth. So if there are branches that are going to grow into other branches, cause rubbing... or branches that are already rubbing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take out the weaker of the two.
Okay, and I can identify that how?
Usually the stronger branch is larger.
Okay, just larger.
Right.
General.
Well, and there's a number of things. On the rubbing branches, one may be damaged more than the other, so you'll want to take the more damaged one out.
Okay.
Or between the two, you keep the one that's growing in the best direction.
Okay.
For the shape of the tree.
Yeah, we were a little worried about doing it now. We were thinking maybe the fall would be better, but it sounds like y'all are doing it right now in Urbana.
Oh, sure. I don't think it's going to harm the tree, and the tree's going to ooze sap a little more than it would in the fall.
Okay.
It's best to take the branches out while they're smaller. It's not going to harm the tree all that much to wait, unless you have something damaged, to wait till fall if you would like. That
okay.
would be fine, too.
Okay.
If you have damaged branches or dead wood, you want to do it as soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Okay, so first look for that and then take those out if needed, and otherwise waiting to fall would be okay.
Right. And then one last thing in a sugar maple, you want to train a central leader. So if the tree forks into two main leaders,
mm-hmm.
you're going to want to choose one
okay.
to keep and take the other one out.
Now, really?
It may look a little odd at this age, but
yeah.
it'll grow out of it. It's what happens is it'll grow into a weak connection, and a windstorm at some point down the road when it's 20, 25 years old later, maybe sooner,
okay.
that can be a weak spot in the tree structurally, and it can break.
Okay. Now, we have one other maple. It is a sugar maple. The one I was talking about was a red.
Okay. Well, red's probably, well, I know, you may have a double leader.
It could happen
yeah.
on that, too.
Okay. Well, the sugar maple we've got is actually, it's a 30-year-old maple we transplanted 2 years ago. And it's doing pretty well.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
did you have a
big, beautiful.
It's, Big John tree spade move?
Yes,
it?
Actually, okay. yeah, we did.
It's wow.
bigtreesnow.net. I don't know if they're still in business, but 2 years ago they came in and they did that.
That's
almost,
neat.
Actually, it's been almost 3 years. Yeah, because it actually added a lot to our backyard landscaping mm-hmm. where we didn't have anything before. But the same process as far as looking for the dead stuff and taking that out. But, of course, it's much taller up. It's shaped beautifully, of course. It doesn't need a lot of shaping. But with the wind, again, this weekend, there were some limbs that kind of came down.
Yes.
Do I worry about those at all?
Well, I mean, yes. You do want to keep the dead wood out of it. You want to look in that tree, see if there's any broken branches
okay.
That are maybe even hangers. You know, we call them widow makers because they can fall out and conk you on the head. But you want to look through the tree for those kinds of things. Now, I suggest a bigger tree really requires a professional to do it safely.
Okay.
I don't suggest that you or your husband
go climbing up there.
Well, not unless you know how to climb with a rope and saddle and use saws in the same situation. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous process.
Yeah.
It's not if you know what you're doing, but
right.
so many people get hurt trying to use saws and ladders and climb trees without being tied in.
Yeah, and it's probably, the tip of it's probably about 25 feet.
I think
so,
it's well worth
yeah.
the investment to hire an arborist,
okay.
especially with the investment you already have in the tree,
uh-huh.
and keep an eye on something like that maybe once every 5 to 6 years.
Okay. Okay. Well, wonderful. Thanks for all your advice.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Next, we talk with a listener in Sydney on line two. Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Real good today.
Good.
Yeah, I have a, I'm on my second season at my house in Sydney, and I have a few bushes that I'm not sure how to care for. They're pretty gangly. I don't think the previous owner of the home really did much with them apart from plant them. And I'm not sure when to trim them or how much to trim them. I know now what they are after having gone through last spring. And one of them is a bridal's wreath.
I knew that was what one was, so I could just tell by the description. It's an old-fashioned one. And you did
yep.
the right thing waiting a season. I was going to compliment you on not doing anything the first year you move into a new house.
Yeah, we haven't touched the yard at all. This year is our big putting in gardens and raised beds and just try to get a handle on our yard in general. So what do I do with that bridal wreath? It's big and overgrown.
Well, we had them when I was a child growing up at our house, and you can go through and you can rejuvenate them, which is really severe, and leave them, you know, 6 or 8 inches. But you can also go in and just remove a few of the older branches, and you don't want to remove much more than 1/3 at a time. Now, some of my friends will go back and trim it maybe just 6, 8 inches, 10 inches back. Just depends on how severe you want it to be. I'm not sure that you can kill them. You know, I don't
know.
They're
certainly long-lived.
They're very long-lived, and inadvertently, we did all of those some, you know, over the years, but you have your choice. So you may want to just, I would think, almost head them back by a foot or so and see what it's going to do, and then you might take it back by a third at a time, unless you really want the all the way to the ground, and we call that rejuvenation, meaning so 6 or 8 inches.
6 or 8 inches from the ground.
From the ground.
Ah.
But that's drastic. So you may want to just head them back a little bit, you know, 6 or 8 inches, maybe a foot, and then and see if it will get some larger, you know, some fuller branches lower.
Right. Well, these are pretty big, and I'm not sure they're in the front of my house, and I'm just not sure if I want to keep them there. It'd be kind of interesting to bring them down to the 6 or 8 inches to see what the house looks like without them there.
You can always take more off. You can't put it back on, so you may do it in stages.
That's true. So if you bring it down to the 6 or 8 inches, how long does it take to recover from that? Do they then just become small bushes, or?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it takes a while for them to recover from it.
Okay.
But that was the main shrub that was planted everywhere. You may find that is just too large. There are a lot of the smaller spireas. I mean, I know the drastic measure of hooking onto it with a chain also and taking it out completely. So
yes.
That would be the most drastic.
Well, sir.
But you need to decide if that's really the right plant in the right place for you.
Right. I think likely that it might not be going forward, but I don't have, this year is not the year that I'm going to totally redo the front yard.
And that's how you decide. Budgetary and otherwise.
Yep. Okay.
So yeah. Now I've given you 4 choices.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Always things to think about, right?
That's right.
Okay, how about Wadelia? I have a Wadelia. I like it. It's not in an obtrusive place, but again, it's kind of gangly, and I don't know quite what to do with it at this point. Am I supposed to trim it back? Will it help it to trim it back?
I would do the 1/3 rule on that
one. Okay.
It really seems to like pruning. I've noticed it's not the longest lived shrub that I grow. But it is really a beautiful one. So I would try removing at least one of the larger stems all the way back to the ground, like we do for lilacs.
Okay.
Do the 1/3 rule.
Okay. And now is a good time to do that.
Well, you can definitely see which one is the largest. It's sometimes hard to get to it, and you know, but yes, you could do it now.
Now versus fall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're going to lose that stem's flowering. So.
Sure. Okay.
But you can do it now.
Okay. And then the third bush that I have going is a mock orange.
Oh, I love mock oranges.
Yeah. I really love the flowers. It's so sweet.
And they're really tall.
Yeah, very tall. Unfortunately, my dogs, I have 2 big dogs in my backyard and the mock oranges in the backyard. They've decided that the mock orange is the perfect bush to chew on this winter, and I didn't catch them at it until it's kind of late. They've made kind of a short ring around the bush. Is kind of already trimmed down around the edges from their damage.
Do they charge an hourly rate?
No,
free labor here.
Free of charge.
That's very non-traditional pruning style.
Yeah. So I end up with this kind of short ring around it and a very tall middle. So I'm not quite sure what to do with that other than put up a fence.
Call that dog topiary.
Yeah, it was. I had that same thing happen with pussy willow, and mine was pruned in a ring around it by deer.
Oh.
So, and I didn't do anything about it last year, so I need to come in, and I'm just going to head it back, you know, take it back to another branch like Mike was describing, just to shorten it so it doesn't look so vertical.
Right.
It's going to be very vertical. But you don't have to take it a lot. You may just want to do it in small chunks. But that's very unique. But I had the same thing happen because of wildlife.
Uh-huh, yep. So I should probably knock down the height some.
Well, I did nothing last year, so it's up to you if the vertical looks okay. But
it may be interesting.
Say you did it for 1 year, I did, and now I know it's really too tall.
Okay.
With no side branching.
Right.
But it will start to come back from the side. You may want to make some clean cuts, again, like Mike was talking about, the teeth marks.
Yeah. It's definitely not clean. Nod.
You might want to rent them out in the neighborhood. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit of bush trimming for around Sydney. Free charge. Right. Well,
good. Thanks for sharing that. That's kind of fun.
Great. Thanks for all your help. Appreciate it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guests this afternoon, Diane Noland and Mike Brunk. You can join us with the telephone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. If you've got questions about trees, gardening, landscaping, today's the day to give us a call. Next, we're going to talk with a listener in Mattoon on line 4. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. I've got an ash tree that's about 14 years old, and for the last two seasons, the leaves have been a little bit sparse. It has come out okay, but they're a little sparse, and they're misshapen, a lot of them. I just wondered what the prognosis would be on how long should I wait for it to give it another year, maybe, before I take it out and start over again?
That is very common, especially around the Champaign-Urbana area. Mm-hmm. It's an ash decline, and generally it's hitting adolescent age trees, the teenagers of the tree, mm-hmm. age trees, and it's about a three-year process. But it really depends on before they just cash out altogether.
Yeah.
It really depends on how stressed the tree is. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the drought didn't help last year. If you want to try to retain it, it's not going to be dangerous. It's not going to fall over mm-hmm. immediately after it dies. Mm-hmm. But some of the branches may be a little more brittle, so you may have some branch drop in the winds. But if we have another drought, which I've heard we may this year, if you water the area around the tree with a lawn sprinkler, that may help its vigor, and you may get a few more years out of it that way. But the prognosis isn't a bright one. I think you're going to lose it.
That's right. Well, do you people have any suggestions for different varieties of shrubs that you could kind of intersperse in flower beds? That may sound kind of odd, but I'd like to put some small shrubs, or anyway, a couple, in some rather just only, they're only 4 feet wide beds, go along a fence, flower beds, mostly perennials.
Is it full sun?
Diane?
Is it full sun?
It is until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, I would consider that full sun. Well, I was just thinking, we were talking about spireas earlier.
Yeah.
There's the little spireas.
Yes, I've got those little pink ones uh-huh. in a little hedge.
I'm really fond of the little short arborvitae that may, I don't know of any of the cultivar names, but I have three in one of the backgrounds of one of my perennial beds.
Uh-huh.
And I just think those little shrub arborvitaes are gorgeous.
You call it a shrub. It's not like the big ones that I've got in my hedge.
That's right. And I purchased it, they're 18 years old, and they're about 3 feet tall.
Oh, well, that's great.
So you'd mm-hmm. have to, I don't know if you know any of the cultivars for that, but you'd have to select.
I could just have to ask.
For the mature height to be 3 to 4 or 5 feet high.
Uh-huh.
But these are just beautiful, and people always comment, well, what is that? Because it's a really beautiful texture.
Well, does it look like the regular big tall arborvitae?
Mm-hmm. But rounded, mounded habit.
Oh.
And I planted them because I like to make evergreen wreaths at Christmas mm-hmm. time, and I didn't want them 40 feet tall. I just wanted a few of them. And it's a beautiful backdrop. Okay. Now, I also like Fothergilla. It gets a little taller, maybe at 4 feet high.
Now, you'll have to spell that for me.
It's like father, but with an O, F-O-T-H-E-R.
S-O.
F as in father.
Oh, F-O-T-H-E-R.
And fancy. Fothergilla. So
okay.
G-I-L.
Is this an evergreen?
L-A.
No.
Does it bloom?
Beautiful white bottle brush little flowers in the spring.
And then it stays small?
It gets about 4 feet high.
Okay.
It's kind of a shrub, you know, it's kind of a twiggy-looking thing in the winter. But, it's beautiful. It has really nice rounded veined leaves, and it gets a orangey-red fall color.
Oh, that sounds nice.
I just really like it.
Yeah.
And most people don't really know much about it. And I like the viburnums. There's some cute little viburnums that get some nice, almost like a red maple-looking leaf with the three little points to the leaf.
Now, which one would that be?
Is it dentatum? Again, you're going to have
to... toothed?
Yeah, the toothed.
Yeah, dentatum.
It's dentatum.
D-E-N-T-A-T-A.
Tentatum. T-A-U-M.
Is that arrowwood? Is that the common name?
I'm not sure. I never remember common names. But the genus name is viburnum, and that's
one in the yard, not in the bed. Right now the name of it has left me completely. It has a very sweet smell.
Oh, Carlisii.
Korean or something.
Korean spice viburnum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one's great. But it's big.
Yeah, it's growing.
Think about, now I know there's quite a bit of sun, but I've had fairly good luck with the little blue prince hollies, the blue Meserve hollies. And I started them from really young, and mine are about 3.5, maybe 4 feet high. But mine don't get high because I use them at the winter Christmas season. So those are beautiful, and the little red berries are a nice addition.
You call it blue prince?
Blue Prince, I think, and it's a Meserve holly, M-E-S-E-R-V-E.
Okay.
There's also the inkberry, isn't it?
The deciduous?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful. Has the red berries right on the branch.
Inkberry.
Boy, I got to go shopping.
Is that the real name of it?
Well, there's a common name, but it's a deciduous holly.
A new variety of Cotoneous aster came out that is columnar.
Oh,
have you seen
really?
That?
No, I haven't.
Red-leaved Cotoneous aster, it's columnar.
Red-leaved and columnar.
Now,
that might be interesting.
How tall does it get?
You know, I think they're promoting it as a 3-foot shrub by 8 or 10 inches or something like that. It's a pillar kind of look, so it's unusual. You could do some really unusual things with it.
Yeah. A 3-foot Cotoneous aster.
Well, that's what they advertised it as.
Okay.
You want to look into that a little more carefully.
Well, you could go short on the vitamins.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And a big help.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk with another listener, this caller, on a cell phone on line one. Hi.
Hi. I have some very large maple trees in our front yard with this house we bought about a year ago. And those crazy things have gigantic limbs that just stretch out about as far as the tree is tall. The thing is just—it looks pretty unsafe, you know. If they were to start dying off or whatever, I have one of the trees actually has a hole of critters living in it. I kind of wonder if it's hollow. Is something like that where the tree is more than likely hollow? Does that mean that there is more than likely the tree is dying off or is going to be weakened or whatever?
Not actually. We have hollow trees around town that live for decades.
Oh, okay.
As far as lateral branches, let me address that first. The more horizontal branches usually are the stronger connections.
Oh.
It's the V-shaped connections to the tree that are weaker and can break in winds and things. So if you have a good U-shaped connection to the trunk, it's typically a strong branch. Now, the hollow trees, as long as the cylinder of the trunk is intact, it can be pretty strong. In fact, some species, a little more flexible and therefore a little more ability to withstand high winds. We were concerned about this a number of years ago with our street trees, and we actually tested some of them, and we've looked into it a little further since then, and we're not as concerned with hollow trees as we used to be. Now, saying that, what you really want to look for is how much decay is in that tree. If it has a hollow, there's decay, and is it substantial?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that hollow trees can all be safe. Some of them
might
be.
Right.
So it's a matter of inspecting that and finding out where the rot is. Is it at junctures of trunk and branches, or is it just a knot somewhere in the middle of a branch where a branch, lateral branch came off?
Right.
And then what kind of species it is. If it's a silver maple, it's going to be a lot weaker than a sugar maple or a red maple.
They're always losing smaller limbs.
Silver maples have leaves that have a silvery underside, and they do drop twigs a lot.
That could be. Like I said, we bought the house about a year ago. I don't recall now what the leaves look like. They're all growing quite healthy. I mean, they leaf out completely and shade the entire front yard. But
well, you could go online and just search for silver maple, and it would bring a leaf up, and you could, once it's leafed out, and compare it. Silver maple is a lot more of a problem tree than sugar would be.
And, you know, if it's over the house, if it could fall on something that's important, whether it's over a driveway or a house or a sidewalk, I think it's in anybody's best interest to hire a certified arborist to come out and examine the tree and suggest what you would need to do to make it safe.
Yeah, I had one of the large branches, well, it's still somewhat over the house. When we first bought the place, I climbed up onto the roof and cut as much as I could reach, but it's still somewhat over the house. I mean, these things just sprawl out in every direction.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Appreciate your time.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good luck. Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line two. Hello.
Hello. I live in a new subdivision, so my landscaping, my trees are not even 2 years old yet, and I made the decision I was going to go with small pot-bound trees rather than have big ones, you know, brought in. So I just want to make sure, what really should I be doing to make sure these little tiny trees grow as healthy and fast as they can? That's one question, and then I have another question about lilacs. I don't know if you want me to go ahead and ask that, too, and let you answer both of them.
Well, sure. Throw it out there.
I just wanted, if you have any recommendations for lilacs that might stay smaller, you know, rather than the common lilac that gets so big and scraggly, other varieties that are good for this area but that stay a little bit on the small size. I don't care what color. I just want it to be fragrant and a little bit smaller.
Okay. I'll attack the tree planting in new subdivisions first.
Okay.
The biggest factor that will inhibit the growth of a tree or a shrub or any of the plants, as far as that goes, is the soil.
Okay.
So if you can start out by, do you have turf already and that's landscape in place, or are we looking at bare ground?
No, turf already and landscaping in place.
Okay.
So that we put in when we moved, not yet 2 years ago.
Is it a clay soil? Do you know what kind of soil you have?
It actually wasn't so bad because we watched them build it and everything, and we had all the dirt out there. It was not as bad as I've seen around here. So I would say it's probably average.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Then, choose your locations for your trees, and when you dig the hole, you want to see what kind of soil you have. If it doesn't drain, you want to fill it up with water and see if it drains. And if it doesn't drain very well at all, you may want to try to put a French drain in the bottom of that. And that's just drilling a smaller hole, like with a bulb planter or something, and trying to punch through that compacted soil, filling that drain up with gravel, and then putting a landscape or a weed barrier over the top of that, which is at the bottom of your tree planting hole.
Okay.
Another thing that you can do, well, if the soil's not that bad, you may not have to do this, but in the poorest soils, you can trench out in a wagon wheel spoke type fashion these small little trenches out from the tree hole and ameliorate that soil with compost. So you're mixing the existing soil with maybe 30% compost.
Yeah.
And what you're trying to do is create avenues for those roots to go out and start to develop out from the hole. You don't want to enrich the hole itself because you will likely train the roots just to stay there.
Right.
And they won't want to go out into the native soil. So if it's halfway decent soil, I wouldn't amend it at all. And I would just kind of rough up the edges of the hole that you're going to put your tree in.
Okay.
And the next best thing and to keep an eye on is to plant the tree at the right depth.
Right, right.
Make sure that you can see the flare of the little tree and you keep that at ground level. In fact, it's better to be high than low.
Right.
And if the soil drains poorly, another way to help alleviate that problem is to plant it on a little hill. So you're planting the tree high, and then you'll build the soil down around it, back down to grade, so it looks like it's on its own little hill.
Right. Okay.
Now, the container trees, the thing you have to keep an eye out for when you take that out of the container is that they weren't in there too long. And trees that were in containers too long generally have wrapped roots where they start growing in circles around the container.
Right.
Those are hard to straighten out once they get going like that. And a lot of times they pose problems down the road.
Okay.
So if you shop for more container-type plant material, you just go ahead and pull the plant out of the pot and see that the roots, that it hasn't been in there too long, and the roots aren't growing in circles. Because
okay.
they're, even if you prune them, for whatever reason, they have a tendency to continue to grow in circles.
Okay.
Watering is good, but not overwatering is just as bad as not enough. So okay. I suggest a good solution, especially in new subdivisions, is the tree watering bag. It is a perfect little device. It's a green or brown type of basically bag that you fill up with water. The green ones, I think, are 25 gallons. The brown ones are a low profile. They're 10 gallons. And they drip out water from these pin-sized holes in the bottom. And the beauty of that system is that it drops the water, waters the tree slow enough that the roots can absorb it and you don't waste water.
Okay.
And it doesn't overwater the tree, so the tree's not setting in a bowl of water where the roots will drown.
Okay. Can you put those around the tree once it's already been planted?
Oh, yeah. They have a zipper on one side.
Okay. Okay. And I've seen those on campus probably, right?
Yeah. Yes. The city of Urbana uses them extensively. The University of Illinois does. And a lot of the garden centers have them now.
Okay.
And the brown one is a low profile?
Low profile. Looks
and
like
it would look like mulch.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Okay. And so just fill those like once a week?
Once a week is what I tell people. Generally, they have directions on them. It depends on the caliper inch of the tree.
Okay.
So how often and what size bag. But generally speaking, once a week is sufficient if there isn't any rain.
Okay.
You use that to supplement rain.
Okay. And then do you recommend fertilizing at all?
Not for the first 3 years at least. You don't want to push shoot development until the roots can catch up with what leaf surface it has.
Okay, okay.
And then do you recommend mulching?
Good question. Of course I do.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very good question. I'm glad Diane brought that up.
You were wanting that question.
One of the biggest killers of our young trees is mower damage.
Right, right.
So we put...
I do have mine all nicely mulched and four
okay.
feet around. And
right, good.
Wow, that is
very
impressive.
Yeah.
A
that retains moisture.
Everyone heard that.
Great. It's even from the landscape recycling center.
There you go.
There you
yes,
go.
Yes, way to go.
Be proud of me, too.
Bonus
well, most
points.
Certainly. That material comes from our community, and then it's returned to our community just as Mother Nature would. So it's perfect.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. I think that's everything I want to know about the trees. Now, how about lilacs? You got any recommendations for good lilacs?
Now, I actually have Miss Kim lilacs, and they're not the 6-8 foot tall ones, but they can get, I mean, they're not the little short 3-footers either.
I think I had one of those in my old house. They get pretty round. They get broad, right?
They get broad and round. The flowers are smaller and not as fragrant. But I found that being a teacher, I always missed the lilacs in the garden because I was teaching. And these flower when I'm out of school. So they do flower a little later. They're not as wonderful, you know, wonderful drop-dead fragrance like the other ones. But they are smaller. And
okay.
so, and there may be other ones in that same area. We also have Syringa myrii that's near our building at school. And it's a little bit smaller flowers and nicely fragrant, but not that wonderful, what you think of as the old-fashioned lilac fragrance.
Okay.
But boy,
okay,
they'll make a nice hedge. They're really good, and they're not that hard to prune. They don't get straggly.
Okay, that's good. Very good.
I don't
good.
Think
and
they
so
get
is that, M-E-Y-E-R-I-I? Is that how you spell
it? I believe that's right.
Okay.
And Mike reminded me, they don't get powdery mildew. They really are nice.
Oh, that's good, too. Right. Okay, very good. All right, thank you all.
Okay, good luck. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We could probably take one more call here this afternoon. Our guests, Mike Brunk, arborist for the City of Urbana, and Diane Noland, who is in ACES here at the University of Illinois, and she's also the host of Illinois Gardener on WILL-TV.
That's right.
Tune in tomorrow night. right? 7 p.m.
You can tune in, but we have the day off. So I'm glad to be here today.
Oh, great.
Because of the pledge drive.
Oh, so, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. The yard waste reclamation site, a good place to get mulch. What are the hours? What else do you have going on?
Landscape Recycling Center.
Landscape Recycling Center.
Our hours are now Monday through Saturday. We open back up on Saturdays starting in March, and the hours are 8 to 4. So there's a variety of mulches out there, shredded mulches, chipped mulches, a variety of composts. There's mushroom compost, garden compost. They have a material out there called wood fines that is kind of an in-between. It's aged. It's the fines from aged mulch that look pretty much like compost. Makes a good potting
material. It's nice.
So there's all kinds of good landscape products out there that they've really done a good job in refining for the community. It's become quite popular. Beat the rush, because it really gets busy in April, May, and June.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. Line 4, toll-free line. Good afternoon. Where are you calling from?
Hume, Illinois.
Hume. Okay, go ahead.
It's a very, very large ash tree in my front yard. And I know I did wrong last spring when the leaves had come out and the branches were rather low, and I broke them off, about 10 of them.
Ouch, I can feel that.
And I didn't saw them or prune them the correct way. You know, you get in a hurry. So all summer long and into fall, I felt like I could see through that tree. I thought that there weren't as many leaves, and I thought that, boy, I stressed this tree out really bad. Is that possible?
Well, how big were the branches that you broke? Were they finger size or were they baseball bat size?
No, they're not baseball. They're about a thumb width, you know.
And how many did you do?
About 10.
Oh, I don't think that,
yeah,
that post,
would hurt.
That's not what caused what you're seeing. I think you have an ash decline problem, and I think the drought had a lot to do with that, more so than what you did.
Okay, because I thought, oh, man, did I? Because it's a beautiful, beautiful shade tree.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, just make sure it gets water if it gets dry.
Yes.
Or what should
yes,
I do?
Yes, for any trees, we need to help them along. The larger ones can handle a little more between the watering, because they have a more established root system. But watering certainly helps our trees during drastic droughts like we had last year.
Should I put any of those spikes out, fertilizer?
Fertilizing is good. I wouldn't do it right now, although you could. And I would use a surface granular. The problem with the tree spikes is that it doesn't spread out. You really don't hit too large of a percentage of the root system at all. And it's much easier to use the granular, and it is better for the tree. The tree can use more, it actually gets more of the fertilizer if you just granular over the top. And I prefer to do it in November, December. You can fertilize a tree in the spring. It probably won't use it until the following year.
Okay.
But don't fertilize a tree after late May or early June.
Okay. Do I put that at the base of the tree or just out?
That's a good
around?
Question. You want to spread it over the root system, which is generally 2 to 3 times out from the tree as the tree is tall.
Okay. Oh, my. Oh, my.
So
okay, I have one more question. Rose bush. Right now, it was at the front door. I pruned it some at the proper time when it was cold, right before winter or right at winter.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think I should have taken it down smaller. Can I do that right now?
Well, you may find that you have some dieback on it anyway, and you can tell those branches will be a little bit more tan or lighter in color.
Uh-huh.
And it won't really hurt it. If we get a really bad cold snap again, but here in March, I wouldn't think it'd be a problem. So I don't think it would hurt. Now, if it's genetically a taller rose, it's going to be right back where it started, but you can prune it a little bit more.
It's about to my chest.
Okay, wow.
It's been a beautiful rose. I don't even know what kind it is or anything. It was given to us. And, you know, I just lost track of what kind it was. But it's always been very beautiful blooming. And there'll be some green on there I want to trim back. Is that okay?
I don't think it'll hurt, as long as you don't take more than a third or probably even a quarter at this stage of the game. But as
yeah,
long
that's
as you
all I take.
That'd be fine, I think.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your answers, and I enjoy listening to you.
Well, thank you for the call. And thank you, Diane, Mike. Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
We got to have you back.
It's
and we got to get Chuck back in here because
mm-hmm.
one of these days we're going to be putting annuals and herbs and vegetables.
That's
okay.
right.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. So good to see you. Thank you.
Nice seeing you too.
You are welcome.
We'll have you back in the near future.
Have fun gardening.
All right.